The All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now. Five.
North hammered by rain, south hammered by heat.
Yeah, up in Flagstaff, pounded with hail, more than 4 inches of rain yesterday. My wife and I, the kids, we went up to Cottonwood. Over the weekend, we had storms up there. It has just been a mess. But down here in Phoenix, not a lot of activity. If you go below Black Canyon City, not a lot of rain, not a lot of thunderstorms for this monsoon season this week. We are expected to see a 118-degree temperature next week. The heat is coming.
Ugh.
Yeah.
116 Monday, 118 Tuesday.
Man.
I feel bad for Flagstaff. Quarter-sized hail is no joke.
Right.
But I think I'd rather have the hail as long as I had a garage than to have to deal with 118-degree heat.
That's a great point. The hail was pretty big. You saw pictures of it on Twitter, Facebook, quarter-sized. And they did get a lot of flooding. I mean, there was a lot of places that, I mean, that my wife and I noticed over the weekend, like, wow, we've never seen rain in that gully or that wash before going up north. But you're right, Lloyd. I'll take my chances with a hailstorm rather than dealing with 118-degree heat.
Now, if Phoenix got 4 inches of rain at one time,
that would be...
That'd be half our rain for the year.
Right.
That'd be a big, big problem here.
Well, remember when
Flagstaff gets more rain. Now, 4 inches in a day, still a ton.
That's a lot. But remember, we got all that rain, and it flooded the highways.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? Like 4 or 5 years ago?
Four.
Migrant family reunited.
Bouquet of roses and open arms. Miguel waited nervously at the Washington Reagan National Airport for his wife, daughter, and stepdaughter to arrive on their flight from Phoenix. He said, I feel nervous. I never thought I would see her again. His wife and her daughters were arrested June 1st at the Arizona border. They sought asylum from their native Honduras. The mother and daughters were separated 2 days later, held in Arizona immigration facilities. No word if that was necessarily in Phoenix. But right now we know that the Trump administration is under a deadline. And that deadline says you must reunite these children. And unfortunately, it is not every child. In fact, it is a handful compared to how many children are still haven't been reunited.
Well, I thought all the kids were supposed to be reunited.
You They're know, supposed
to. 2,000 to 3,000, but the administration has been working very slow. Out of the initial, 100 who were younger than four, there were about 50 to 60 who
that
were
was it.
Reunited.
Right.
And now out of the 2,000 plus who are up to age 17, we're hearing a little over 300.
300. And another deadline is going to come and pass. And all a federal judge can say is, okay, you're working hard, work harder.
The stories you hear from these kids are really tragic. This one little girl says, sometimes she said that I didn't want her. That's this mom
right.
saying that her little girl was calling saying, you don't want me.
Right.
Three.
The number three story on the All Arizona Daily Download, construction competition.
The construction competition is basically where you take cans, beans,
this
you
sounds
know,
like something
vegetables.
Nerdy you would do.
No.
In your free time.
Dirty?
Dirty?
I said nerdy.
I thought he said dirty.
Did I say dirty?
I did too. Yeah, it sounded like it.
I meant nerdy. It's the heat.
It is.
Is this like what I've seen in grocery stores where they do it with the soda boxes, but this is with cans?
Right.
Maybe it is dirty if a can flies open on you.
Yeah, that could get you a lot of, depending on what's in the can. Seven structures made entirely of canned foods taking part in this year's Phoenix Construction Competition. So far, the one inspired by the movie Up is the fan favorite. They've got a Star Wars themed one, of course, talk about nerd. They've got others. We actually had a competition like this. Remember?
See, you do get into things like this.
Well, it was my wife who said you could do this. You had to take, it was around Easter time, you had to take peeps and make some kind of diorama. And I said, this would be really cool, but there's no way. And my wife said, oh, hold my beer. And we made this diorama. I came in second.
I remember that.
To the
we
zombie.
Did it here in the office. That's right.
Yeah, to the zombie thing.
Hey, where,
so these are really cool.
Where is the construction competition?
Downtown Phoenix. I think at the Phoenix Convention Center.
Cool.
Two.
Plea deal on the table for Tempe mosque rage.
Yeah, remember a number of months ago, there were two women who, for some reason, decided to go to a Tempe mosque and just start shouting stuff at people who were coming out of the mosque, and they even took their children with them.
Here's Tanya, one of the women who was shouting stuff.
Muslims are nothing but devil, Satan worshippers.
You hear the kids. You love Satan.
Yeah,
Jeez, way to go, Mom.
Yeah. The county attorney, Bill Montgomery, has confirmed that a plea deal is in the works for these two women. And I don't know why. I'm not really sure why. We'll get into it a little bit later. But the Bill Montgomery statement says nothing about any jail time or punishment for a hate crime. It does indicate the mosque would like to use the incident as a kind of teachable moment.
Mac, I watch Law & Order. I have a theory on why they're going for a plea deal.
Okay.
Now,
because
I have
this
not read through this all the
all
way
right.
yet.
All right. What is it?
It's better to take a plea deal and get a conviction than to risk them walking. And you don't get any sort of conviction. So maybe the county attorney figures, if we can get them to plead guilty to this, it's still a quote-unquote win in our book, that they're guilty of something.
They were charged with felony burglary, aggravated criminal damage, and alleged vandalism.
They took a bunch of pamphlets.
And the mom was charged. She was facing 3 counts of endangering children. But maybe you're right. Maybe he says, you know what, better to take this than get nothing.
One.
Pharmacist humiliates woman in Fountain Hills.
All right, once again, we have another, pharmacy story where a woman in Fountain Hills said a transgendered woman said, I took my hormone therapy prescription into a CVS in Fountain Hills, and not only would the pharmacist not fill it, they wouldn't give me back the actual script that the doctor had written, the hard script, and they wouldn't transfer it. Now, I know that Arizona is one of 6 states that allows a pharmacist, based on their religious or moral principles, not to fill something, but to not give it back to the woman and not transfer it?
Yeah, if you have an issue, I understand you say, hey, we'll have to get another pharmacist over here, or you're going to have to go elsewhere. But this woman ended up having to call her doctor's office back. Then she had to go to a Walgreens instead to get it filled.
The doctor had to do another script
and
give it to the woman so she could take it to another place.
And at first my thought was, you know, some people make too big of a deal out of their issues.
Yeah.
But if this pharmacist held her prescription, said, nope, you're not getting it back, I understand why she'd go public and be so ticked.
This is another one in recent memory. There was another one in Peoria, I think, a week or two ago, where a woman was actually going through a miscarriage. There's medication you take to help you through the miscarriage. The pharmacist said no, and that was at a Walgreens.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top 5 local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, the All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea with no mask, no hose, no noise. Visit inspiresleep.com today. All right, Gatos has the day off. That voice you heard was none other than Lloyd Banks filling in for Gatos today. Thank you, Lloyd. I thought you were going to say something.
You're welcome.
That's all you had to say, Lloyd.
It's the heat.
Yeah, it is the heat. We're going to do a bunch of dirty and nerdy things here on the show, thanks to Lloyd's presence, that's for sure. Coming up, well, way to go, Mosley. The representative has gotten the immunity canceled. Doug Ducey came out and said they're not going to do that anymore.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, KTAR this month, teaming up with Pacifico to discover Arizona, and this week's destination is to Prescott. Text AZ to 411923 for your chance to win a weekend getaway to downtown Prescott with a hotel stay, dinner, and a haunted historic tour of the town.
I love Prescott, Mac. Not so hot up there.
No, you're right.
This heat down here makes me say dirty instead of nerdy.
That's true. The show's gotten off to a rousing start. Thanks to the influence of Lloyd Banks, super producer Lloyd Banks, because Gatos has the day off. I didn't see this coming. I don't think you did either, Lloyd. We've been talking about the legislator from Lake Havasu City, Paul Mosley, who was caught back in March, and the video surfaced a couple weeks ago, of him bragging to an officer, a DPS officer, of going, not only breaking the speed limit by a couple of miles per hour, but in some cases more than double the miles per hour.
Going up to 140?
140.
That's what he bragged about doing.
Right. Governor Doug Ducey today came out and said, look, this is going to stop and this ends now. He signed an executive order that makes it clear no one is above the law, certainly not elected officials. And Doug Ducey's statement says, in light of recent cases, I think that's interesting. I don't know what cases he's talking about. We only talked about one. The executive order clarifies that law enforcement officers employed by the state of Arizona have the constitutional and legal authority to hold elected officials accountable when they endanger public safety, like going 120 or 140 miles an hour on the highway systems. Criminal violations, including speeding, reckless driving, and driving under the influence, the executive order clarifies that the Constitution limits the application of so-called legislative immunity to circumstances during the legislative session and the 15 days immediately prior to the start of legislative session.
So
what does this mean?
Yeah, make it real simple and apply it to Mosley's case. If Representative Mosley got pulled over in session, this is basically saying he could still be cited, just he would not be taken off to jail, correct?
Yeah, he would not be taken off and held, but he is subject to what we all are subject to, which is if you break the law, if you put the public in danger, this is going to be a punishment. You are going to be either given a ticket or in some cases, I don't think this would happen to Mosley, but correct me if I'm wrong. If you're going like double, was going 120, 140,
I think it's like only 20 over.
Right. Like you could be arrested and put in jail for that.
Correct.
Mosley would not though, but he would still be held with a
cited
and given a ticket and would still have to answer down the road. I don't think this changes the Constitution necessarily. This is Doug Ducey signing an executive order basically saying, this is how we're going to interpret this. You still have immunity, but it's not all year. It's not going back home. It's not at certain times of the year, anytime willy-nilly. It's 15 days before the session and during the session to make sure that you get to do what you were elected to do.
And there was a lot of confusion about this. DPS Chief Colonel Frank Milstead talked with Bruce and Pamela earlier in the week.
I think we need to leave this open and we have the Attorney General look at it and have a discussion ongoing and come to a final decision on what we're going to advise Arizona law enforcement to do.
And Bruce St. James and Pamela, they asked him, does immunity apply?
I think we believe that it does extend to them during the session. And I've asked my general counsel to review this along with the Attorney General.
See, you can tell right there, he's really not 100% clear.
No, play it again.
I think we believe that it does extend to them during the session.
We believe it does. They're not sure. Mm-hmm. They're not sure how to interpret it. So what we thought was going to happen is that, J.D. Mesnard, the Speaker of the House, was going to either have to bring it up in session or was going to have to, I guess, some kind of clarification. Doug Ducey beat him to it, much like if you remember way back when around Red for Ed, J.D. Mesnard and some other lawmakers came up with a way to pay teachers, and Doug Ducey, out of the blue, came up with his own plan that became the 20% by 2020 proposal that was eventually passed. J.D. Mesnard was going to have to review this. Other people were going to review it and give a clarification. Doug Ducey comes out today and says, no, we're done here. This is what this means, and this is what it needs to be because of one guy that we know of publicly that basically not just flaunted this, he exploited it. Well, and bragged about it.
And if Speaker Mesnard had to get this up for debate, there would have been at least one or two people on the other side saying, well, do we really have to do anything with this?
Or maybe.
It wouldn't have been settled in a day.
It would have taken weeks
or months
to
get any sort of clarity. There's backroom deals that would happen. The governor basically came out and said, nope, this is how it's going to be. We are going to do this moving forward. End of story.
So we're following the breaking news. If you're just tuning in, if you're just listening, about an hour ago, Our own governor, Doug Ducey, today signed an executive order that makes it clear no one is above the law, certainly not elected officials. This legislative immunity is now even more stringent, and as it should be. I don't know how it got so clear as mud, or so, myopic of, well, no, this applies to me as a legislator, as an elected official, all year round. I can go as fast as I want. Representative Mosley was pulled over during session, but bragged that he did it all the time. And he bragged that he was going 120, 140 miles an hour, which is just, it's not even ludicrous. It's just plain stupid.
Well, and it wasn't just Mosley. There have been other instances in the past few years.
Right, but I didn't.
Where other legislatures have cited this immunity clause,
yes,
for
not,
other things.
But not to the degree, and I guess the pomposity,
well,
that Mosley was bragging on
cam.
Videotape. Right, right, right,
right. So Grant Woods this morning with Pamela Hughes.
Former Attorney General.
Right, in for Bruce.
I would give this instruction as Attorney General. I would say, give him a citation here and make him go to court, but you can't arrest him. The only reason, as I said, they just didn't want people being arrested and thrown in court or thrown in jail so that they missed votes. That's kind of what it was all about here. But for minor things.
Isn't that interesting? That's all before the governor even spoke out.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, we didn't know it was going to happen. We were given no warning or nothing. Again, like the Red for Ed proposal. In fact, Ducey was here on a Tuesday defending his decision to give teachers the pay that he was going to give them. And Thursday, boom, he comes up with eventually the 20% by 2020. We didn't know this was going to come out, but good for Doug Ducey. Good for him to come out and say, this is wrong. This is the clarification. This ends now.
This seemed like a no-brainer.
Yes.
And I'm glad it got done quick.
Yes,
I'm glad
exactly.
We didn't have to go through weeks and months of debate, back and forth, uncertainty about what legislative immunity does and doesn't apply to. You know, one day, one release from the governor, a couple tweets, boom. He does not want to deal with this, and he's moving on.
Doug Ducey actually tweeted, too, politicians are not above the law. Everyone should know that, and the Arizona Constitution is clear. But regrettably, a reminder is needed. That's great. And like you said, Lloyd, good for him for just doing it quickly. That's for sure. He did it as fast as Mosley drives on.
Oh, I see. Too soon.
All right. Coming up. Well, it happened again. Another Valley pharmacist refused to fill a prescription for one woman, one transgendered woman. We'll tell you the story of the transgendered woman from Fountain Hills. And what was the pharmacist's reaction next?
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, Gatos has the day off today. Lloyd Banks is filling in. Coming up after one of the worst press conferences in presidential history, Donald Trump has decided to invite Russian President Vladimir Putin to the White House.
Makes sense.
Why would the president do this? Makes no sense. We'll talk to Rick Klein, ABC News political director, coming up after 3 o'clock. Well, it's happened again. There's another, I don't even want to call it a pharmacy
incident
or pharmacy controversy. What I don't understand, and I worked in pharmacy as a tech and delivered medical supplies.
You're the go-to on this, then.
Well, I know how pharmacists are. I know how pharmacies work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people just are such jerks about certain things. Okay?
Well, explain what you mean. Who's being the jerk here, the customer or the pharmacist?
The pharmacist.
Okay.
You've got a transgendered woman in Fountain Hills.
Uh-huh.
She is speaking out saying that a CVS pharmacist denied her hormone prescription. Wouldn't say why, but just said he wasn't going to fill it and then was also not going to give her back her hard script, the physical paper, the script pad that the doctor has. This wasn't an electronic script. This was an actual hard script that the woman handed the person behind the counter. Now, we know that Arizona is one of six states that allows a pharmacist to, because of either religious or moral beliefs, maybe they don't want to fill birth control. Maybe they don't want to fill the morning after pill. Maybe they I think there was one particular case a couple of weeks ago or a week ago where someone was going through, unfortunately, a miscarriage, and she had a certain type of medication that would assist her in the miscarriage. And one pharmacist, based on religious principles, said, I'm not filling that. I don't believe in that.
Now, that involved the Walgreens.
A Walgreens. This
time,
is CVS.
It involves CVS.
But what, again, and I've known pharmacists. I've known, you know, particularly some who are very religious. Some have very strong convictions. But they're not the only ones there.
Well, and what
this
was,
is what I don't understand.
What was interesting, too, is with the Walgreens a few weeks ago, I believe they told that woman, you'll have to go to another. Did they send her to another pharmacy, or did they just say, you're going to have to see another pharmacist?
See, I thought it was another pharmacy again.
It was in the Walgreens. I remember that.
Which okay. I don't understand, because it long days are gone that you have the old-time pharmacist who owns the building and owns everything there, who is there from open to close, and he's the only pharmacist on duty. Most of your pharmacies now have at least 3 to 4 to 6 pharmacists at a certain time because they're open so long. You have 2 or 3 shifts. They're open Monday through Monday. I mean, what I just don't understand, why does this guy have to be such a jerk?
Couldn't he just say,
hey, I can't fill this because whatever. Or we don't have it right now, so we'll wait until we do have it. Meaning until the next pharmacist shift takes over. Why do you have to stand there and be an absolute jerk to somebody?
Well, and this incident is worse than that one, if you ask me, because this transgender woman, her name is Hilda Hall, is
okay.
what I want to say, H-I-L-D-E.
Hilda or Hilda?
She says that this pharmacist would not even give her back the prescription.
See, again,
he wouldn't relinquish
being a jerk.
It, wouldn't give it to another pharmacist at the store, wouldn't
right.
transfer it to another CVS, wouldn't transfer it to another store. Basically, what Hilda says is that she felt like the pharmacist basically wanted her to out herself as transgender there in front of a bunch of strangers and to try to embarrass her. He held on to her prescription, making her call her doctor, get a new prescription
right.
written that she could then take to a Walgreens and get written for her.
Right.
This one tops that last one. And you're right. I don't understand. The customer service industry has fallen apart, and I don't understand why, if a customer comes up to you and you don't want to help them, whatever the case may be,
what are you doing?
Religious reasons here, if you don't want to help them, just hand it back to
right,
them.
Right, right. Why do you have to
go?
Be a jerk?
Wouldn't, if the guy was, as I read part of the story, that the pharmacist was talking very loudly and like you said, trying
yes.
to get this person to
what do you
explain,
need this for? Why are you doing this?
Isn't that a violation of the HIPAA law?
Yes.
So right there is
he was
a
fired.
Huge issue.
Yeah, CVS said the pharmacist was fired, and good, rightly so. I mean, I remember I was working and this was before HIPAA. I shouted something because I was in a rush across the pharmacy counter at somebody because I wasn't close to them, and it was something about their health, and I got my rear end chewed out by the pharmacist on duty, basically saying, you don't have to broadcast that the person has, you know, like strep throat
or something else
that's embarrassing. You don't have to do that, you know? Why do you have to do this? If you're that adamant, if you're that zealot, if that much of a zealot, be an advocate. Don't be a pharmacist.
Well, two things come to mind. People just feel entitled to act that way.
Yeah, but what makes a pharmacist feel entitled at this particular instance?
That piece of paper that makes him a pharmacist? Mm. Look, again, I don't agree with their point of view here, but I'm trying to think about why they do it. And I think they feel like that piece of paper and that additional schooling gives them the ability to talk down to you and to demean you, which it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
But that's how they act. And it's either that or just having a bad day, or just they feel like they are better, know better, they're smarter than you. And in this case, this pharmacist was 100% in the wrong.
Absolutely.
Cost him his job.
Absolutely. And it should have cost him his job.
And that's what I don't get. Is it worth your job?
Right.
I would love, we don't know this pharmacist's name, but I would love to ask him today, Was this worth your job, sir?
Yeah, because what are you going to do? Are you going to go to another pharmacy and do this once again? If a transsexual person comes in for hormone therapy, or somebody comes in for, what is it,
RU42? Well, it's on your record. Who wants to hire you when something like this happens?
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, this has never come up before. You didn't act like a bag before. Now you decide to. Like you said, like you asked, Lloyd, was it worth it? Again, if you're that strongly opinionated, become an advocate. Don't be a pharmacist. Don't try to out somebody. And I'm just hoping this is true. Let me just say this. I'm just hoping this woman's story, not that I don't believe her, but we have seen stories before where once it is found that, you know, that is not really the way
once
it went down.
Once you hear both sides of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But at the same time,
I would think CVS would do their due diligence.
Exactly.
He wouldn't simply...
And he did wind up being fired.
Yeah.
I don't know if this woman, did this woman goad him? Did this woman say something to him personally? I don't know. But it's one thing to say, I'm not going to fill it. It's another to say, I'm not even going to give you the script back so you can go fill it somewhere else.
Wouldn't
you don't even
the
give
manager?
Him a chance to get out.
Wouldn't you go get the manager and say, the pharmacist was not giving me... I totally would.
Okay.
mean, I would think, I would just immediately go, well, we'll just see what your boss has to say about that.
Right. And I don't know if she actually went to the manager or just posted it on Facebook, but CVS did fire the pharmacist. Good. You deserve it. All right, coming up. These people are jerks, man. Speaking of jerks, it's gut check time next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Kato's KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's gut check time with Mac and Gatos.
All right, Lloyd, you're in for Gatos today, which means I have to subject you to a gut check. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. All right, here's your gut check. The director, James Gunn, has been dropped from Disney's Marvel franchise, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hold on. Who do you think I am? Gatos over here watching these superhero movies?
No.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I already thought of that. No.
Okay.
The story is that Disney has dropped the director because of old offensive tweets. Now, we've heard of this before that somebody...
A Major League Baseball player got in trouble for this week.
Yes. He is actually from Maryland. He plays for the Brewers.
Back when he was 17, he was dropping the N-word, homosexual slurs.
The writer-director of Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy franchise apologized after a series of old tweets, now deleted, resurfaced, in which the filmmaker made what he admitted were offensive jokes about taboo topics. Your gut check, should there either be a statute of limitations on Twitter or on Facebook, because we know that things that are offensive now may not be offensive down the road, or vice versa, should there be a statute of limitations, or should Twitter just kind of sort of delete your tweets after 5, 6, 10 years?
I really wish there was no way for people to scroll all the way back and see your tweets from years ago. I would love it.
You're not the same person.
If there was a statute of limitations. Now, here's the problem. Only these people who tweet these things, think these things, only they truly know what's in their head and what's in their heart.
Right.
And
well, Gatos will say that's who they are. Good thing they did that, so we know that that's the kind of person they
are. Look, when you're 17, you're almost an adult.
But James Gunn is an adult,
sure,
and tweeted this stuff.
And I like to believe people can grow, people can learn, people can change. And, I mean, you can look at all sorts of people out there who are, you know, very famous celebrities who have said things in the last few years that if they were busted for it now, they would be in deep trouble. We hear stories like this every week. A statute of limitations, no, that goes a little too far. But I think they should have to be hooked to a lie detector, Mac. And this lie detector would be admissible. And you can tell whether or not, based on the results, whether they have truly evolved and changed and are a new person and do not stand by those tweets.
Right.
Or if they still believe it.
All right.
To this day.
Okay.
Mac and Gatos, gut check.
All right, Mac. I have a story you have not seen. Are you ready to give me your gut check?
Yeah.
There is a woman who tried to extort a married man who accidentally left his phone at the bar, is what the cops are saying.
Oh.
A woman down in Florida tried to get $500. It started with only $300. from a married guy who left his cell phone unattended at a bar. She ended up threatening to tell him she was going to tell this guy's wife that he cheated on her. Doesn't seem like that's actually what happened at Big Dog's Sports Bar.
Oh, Big Dog's Sports Bar, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
This guy discovers that he left his phone, and he reaches out, ends up getting a hold of the cops. They set up a meeting, and they show up. The woman asks for $500. She gets busted.
Where is this going?
What I want to know from you, Mac...
My gut check?
Is the most bizarre thing that you've ever seen in a bazaar. In a bazaar. In a bar. Or a bazaar. Either one, Mac. The most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
Okay, gather around, everyone.
If you have a bazaar story, that's even better.
Gather around,
about
everyone.
About a bazaar.
From my, this is one of Uncle Mac's old radio stories.
I love these.
Okay. I'm working, this is 1996.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working for the most hated FM radio station in America at that point.
Was that their slogan?
No, no, but everybody in the industry, and by the industry I mean the business, knew of it.
Okay.
I go to a bar. I have an appearance at a bar with the Corona Extra Girls.
Mm.
I go around this very, very swanky part of town bar, and this preppy girl, who is extremely drunk, tells me to get the blanking... rhymes with boars, Corona Extra Girls, out of here.
Mm.
Her boyfriend then says, hey, don't worry about it, man. She's drunk. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to give out, you know, like T-shirts and stuff. Hey, I work at a radio station.
You got
that's
a beer koozie.
Yeah, right.
Hey, take
at
this.
At the end of the night, I have tickets. Tickets for Navy football.
Mm.
And I say, who is Navy taking on this weekend? And I hear, Delaware.
The Blue Hens?
The Blue Hens, very good.
Thank you.
It is the same girl who told me, like, an hour and a half earlier to get those blanking, rhymes with boars, mm-hmm. Corona Extra Girls mm-hmm. out of here.
Yes.
She walks up trying to get her tickets. She trips, falls right in front of me. Her glass bottle slices her wrist. Beer and blood go all over me, and I just step right over her, and I go, who wants Navy tickets? That is the weirdest thing I've ever happened in a bar.
It's better than the cops busting this woman.
Yeah, darn right. And it was a true story. Gut Check brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic. Relief on so many levels. Coming up, Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Why is President Trump inviting Vladimir Putin to the White House?